The first reading is from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Maggie. Hello again. Silence is golden. Discuss. Not science is golden, for those who were here last week, when there's a slight lack of hearing. What do we reckon? Silence is golden. There's a slight caveat. Can we have the next slide, Tim? Silence is golden unless you have kids. Then silence is just plain suspicious. Silence is golden. I'm very comfortable with silence, borne out by the fact that on Friday I drove down to Taunton and sat for 7 hours at the county ground in Taunton watching the first day of a four-day game of cricket and only had one conversation with anyone throughout the whole day. You know, that's sort of my dream day out. Some of you are thinking, I can't think of anything worse. And that's either because of cricket or of silence, I'm not sure. At home, I'm quite happy working in my study in silence with no distractions. I'm quite happy sitting and reading in silence or even doing the washing up in silence. Tracy, meanwhile, would much prefer to have the radio on, Radio 2 comes on, or a Spotify playlist, and are happy with that background music. We're all different, aren't we? And we all have different relationships to silence. Well, I'm gradually adding to my list of different types of silence. You watched the short video, some of you, last Sunday and the Sunday before, where I listed a few. I've now doubled that number. We now have 8 types of silence. If you have more, speak to me afterwards. So there's the awkward silence, the first one, when two people are finding it a little bit difficult, perhaps, or in a group, don't quite know what to say. A great little story this week I picked up from a contact of mine. It was about a colleague of theirs at work who'd gone on holiday with their husband. And they were going on a mini break, so they're only going away for 3 or 4 nights, so all they needed to take was one of those little dolly trolleys, you know, one of the small pieces of luggage, which gets smaller every time with EasyJet or Ryanair, as to how big it's allowed to be. And the wife had packed the luggage, and very, very last minute, the husband had decided to put in his aftershave and his deodorant. Now, of course, there's still the 100ml limit, isn't there, on what you're allowed to carry on to the plane. And these were a little larger than 100ml, shall we say. So they get to the airport and they go to security And security weaves off into two different lanes. So the husband just walks straight through security, through the scanner, and goes off to duty free. The wife, meanwhile, gets stopped at security. The case goes through the scanner, and of course it shows that she's got things she shouldn't have in her case. These items with more than 100 mil. And so she gets taken aside and has to explain why she's got these banned substances. And of course she says, well, I didn't know they were there. I didn't put them there, which makes it even worse. So she gets interrogated, and eventually she gets reunited with her husband. That was an example of the awkward silence which followed on the plane. There's awkward silence, an eerie silence. I think I've experienced that most visiting Auschwitz concentration camp. And in fact, it's not a complete silence because you can hear the birds singing, but there's a real eeriness about the place as you reflect on what went on there only 70 or so years ago, 80 years ago. The blissful silence when the kids go off to school, or the grandchildren leave after a couple of days with you. That's a good one. Or maybe when you get in from a busy day's work and just claps in a chair. The unwanted silence brought about by the loss of a loved one, or maybe children going moving out or going off to university, sort of empty nest syndrome. The baffled silence, what on earth is going on? Some of our young people have got exams coming up. I'm hoping that when they turn the first page of that exam paper, there won't be too much baffled silence. Compassionate silence. Sitting with someone where words just aren't enough, where what is needed is just being there, offering a hug, sharing a tear. That can be very powerful. There's a respectful silence, the sort that we demonstrate on a day like Remembrance Day, as we remember those who served. Anticipatory silence, as you prepare for a significant event, maybe for an interview, maybe to play in a big match. Just those few seconds you might take to reflect. As I say, let me know afterwards if you've got more silences to add. I imagine that all of us have experienced one or more of those types of silence. But the focus this morning is on one that's slightly different. It's that really attentive silence. Not a silence forced upon us by our circumstances, but one where we choose very intentionally to still ourselves that we might engage with God and hear his voice. That gentle, still, small whisper. It was St. Augustine who's supposed to have said, our souls are restless until they find their rest in thee. Often our souls are restless because of just the busyness and the sheer pace of our lives. So many different things demanding our attention. And we rush from one thing to the next, and yet nothing seems to satisfy. Well, in God we can find true rest and peace. And silence is one of the ways in which we can express our worship and adoration of him. Jesus regularly took time away from the crowds to engage with his Father. We heard that in the reading from Mark's Gospel. His followers weren't very impressed. Jesus had gone AWOL. They were thinking, surely you want to carry on teaching, healing, performing miracles. Why have you suddenly disappeared? Everyone's been looking for you. But Jesus had a true sense of his priorities, and taking that time on his own to commune with his Father was at the heart of all that he was about. Well, our challenge to you this month is to set aside just 5 minutes each day to be silent and deliberately attentive to God. If you haven't yet picked up one of these Rhythm of Life leaflets or accessed it online, please do so before you go this morning. And there are many ways in which we can be attentive to God. I'm going to talk about two of them, and then we're going to practice a third one.
The first one is the way in which we can engage with creation. I think we're incredibly blessed in this community to have so many great spaces around us. So we've got the Bristol and Bath Railway Path. We've got Britannia Woods. We've got all the different parks, King George V Park and Page Park and Queensholm Park. We've got Leap Valley on our doorstep. We can wander over the dual carriageway and the motorway, and we're out into the woods towards Hambrook. And as a dog owner, I get to experience all of these at different times. Now, I've got three speeds of dog walking, okay, which I'll demonstrate. So the first speed of dog walking is known as Peterson walk speed, where the dog gets dragged on behind me, and if the dog wants a wee, he'd better be quick, because I've only got 20 minutes to get round, and I need to be back for my next appointment. So that's Peterson warp speed. And I'm not very aware of what's going on. And if anyone dares to say hello to me, they might get a little nod and a quick hello. And then the second speed is a, you know, reasonably normal sort of speed, the sort of speed I might walk if I'm walking with my wife or walking with friends. And we'll be talking as we go. And I might be, you know, observing something going on in the tree, see a blackbird there. And I'm quite happy. But keeping going, it's still quite purposeful. And then the third speed is a real slowing down, where I truly am being deliberately attentive to what's going around me. And with that, seeking to be attentive to God. And attentive to the beauty of God's creation. This week I was going to the doctor's, Leap Valley Surgery. And I started off going at sort of mid-speed probably, fairly normal speed, wasn't in any great hurry. But about halfway I just deliberately slowed. And the sun was shining. And as I walked through Leap Valley, the bluebells were out. There was a squirrel running along a branch. There was a magpie just pecking away on the floor. There was a robin in a tree. The little brook that runs through was babbling away. And I could stop and slow and really appreciate the beauty of God's creation. It's what I like to call the, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder sort of moment. And I'm really taking in what's going on around me, attentive to God's creation, and in that space, offering my praise and worship to God. We can so easily go at Peterson warp speed or any other warp speed and miss out. And that's true in life generally, isn't it? We don't stop, we don't slow enough. And it's that attentiveness, not just that attentiveness to God's creation, but that attentiveness to who God is, how he sees us, all that he offers us. So experiencing God in creation. Another type of a silence or way of engaging with God in silence is meditating on Scripture, meditating on his words. Or maybe meditating on the words of a song. I mean, I can see what Charles Wesley meant when he talked about that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It does it for me too, but it's just so powerful and expresses so much of what the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is all about. But taking time to reflect on the words of a song, or taking time to reflect on Scripture. Not just reading it and moving on, but soaking in it, reading it, twice, maybe three times, allowing the words to wash over us, to seep through the pores of our skin so that we might truly own them. This has been part of One Church One Day over the last couple months. It's been introduced on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock as part of the 24 hours of prayer. Diane's offered a time of soaking in Scripture. It's a time when we switch off our phone, close the door, sit down and are attentive, deliberately attentive, to what God might want to say to us. One of the words we often use in talking about this attentive silence is that of centering. Centering on God Himself, stilling ourselves, bringing our heads to a place of quiet, silencing the list of things that needs to be done, and making time with God the absolute priority. I'll let you into a little secret. The world will not stop if we pause for 5 minutes. Did you know that? Attentive silence is an expression of worship and adoration, affirming Jesus' lordship in our lives. The third approach is that of using something like the breath prayer, which is the one outlined on this leaflet for this month, for this period. And we're going to have a go at that in a moment. But first of all, you'll be pleased to hear I've got the roving mic. I've just talked about a couple of ways in which I sometimes engage with silence, but there's so much wisdom in this room. So just love to hear from anyone just briefly, either an affirmation of something that's already been said, or just some way in which you engage with silence in that attentive sort of way. So I'm going to start wandering in that direction, and I'm hoping that one or two hands might go up and that you might be willing just to share briefly how you engage with silence. If not, we'll just have some silence and it might feel a bit awkward. I hope not. Thanks, Angie.
I found sometimes lighting a candle and just watching the flame, you can really focus on that and reminds us of Jesus being the light of the world.
Brilliant. Thanks, Angie. So just lighting a candle and providing a visual focus there. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, for me, I always think better when I write. So I end up spending time in silence and writing, but writing about what I'm thinking. And then that's when God comes and speaks to me then.
Great, thank you. So writing.
For me, being out in the amongst trees is my inspiration. And there is a song that says, I think I shall never see anything beauty. Sorry, I've forgotten the words now. I think that I shall never see. Poem lovely as a tree. And the filigree against the sky when the leaves are not there is a thing of beauty.
Great, thank you. So much that is beautiful within creation. Ruth.
I find imagining myself in one of the situations that we know from the Bible that Jesus lived through, maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane or when Mary was crying, weeping over his feet. I imagine myself there and watching and what's going on.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ruth. So that's the sort of Ignatian sort of spirituality, and really involving ourselves in passages of Scripture.
I find my moments of peace in the garden, planting, looking around at the trees and the insects. What a wonderful world we live in.
Thank you, Francis. I'll go around to David.
When I'm alone on the top of a mountain in the Lake District, that's better. When I'm alone on the top of a mountain in the Lake District, seeing the beauty of God's creation.
Thank you, David. Anyone else? Well, there's just a few examples. And just encourage us over these weeks ahead to just find ways, to try ways of engaging with Scripture. Silence. I don't know which one to use now. Got feedback from two of them. Shall I try this one? Yeah. Try different ways of engaging with silence in an attentive manner. As I say, we're going to use this approach known as the breath prayer now, just for a few minutes. And just before, as we lead into that, if the musicians can just join me, we're just going to sing Be Still and Know as a way of, it's based on words from Psalm 46, Be Still and Know that I am God. You may want to remain seated for this, just to get you into a place. We're open to receiving from God, and then I'll lead us through the breath prayer exercise. Be still and know that I am God. Just be still. Let's make sure we're sitting comfortably, whether we're here in church or whether we're engaging at home. Let's be attentive to what's going on with our bodies. Let's notice the speed of our breathing. And just seek to slow that breathing down. Let's take some slow, deep breaths. And be conscious of any tension in your body. And on each out breath, just release those tensions. On the in-breath and the out-breath, you may just choose to use a word or a phrase that helps you to focus on God. You might, for instance, just say under your breath, Jesus, on the in-breath, and Saviour, on the out-breath. Or Father on the in-breath and Protector on the out-breath.
or spirit, and fill me. And if distractions come, just seek to put them to one side, so that as much as possible you can be fully attentive to God. And as you speak out whatever words you've chosen, just under your breath, just be open to God speaking to you. Just be aware of His presence. Just tell Him how you're feeling today. And if you're able, just express your prayer of worship and adoration of Him. Heard words from Psalm 8 this morning which remind us of how the psalmist just had a great sense of awe and wonder at God as he looked at creation. He asked the question, what is man, what is humanity that you're mindful of them, the son of man that you care for him? Another phrase from a psalm that struck me this week came out of our morning prayer on Monday morning as a team. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You may want to reflect just for a few moments on what it means to come before a holy God. Enough words from me for the moment. Let's just have a couple of minutes just of quiet for you to engage with God in the silence, just being attentive to Him. God's word through the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. And let's remain in that place of attentiveness as Adam comes to lead us in our prayers of intercession. And I'd encourage you over these weeks ahead to just experiment with ways of being silent before God and engaging with Him.